To the conspiracy curious, the highly skeptical, the generally bewildered, and other refugees from the post-truth era, welcome to episode 14 of the Informed Paranoia podcast.
Offering thoroughly examined conspiracy content free of hatred, ridicule, or blind faith.
For anyone who's ever wanted to know what's down there, we brave the rabbit hole so you don't have to. Matt, a Melbourne-based writer, and I don't have an irrational belief, as always, but I did bring a truth, a controversial truth, about sport, which is not to give too much away, but is connected to our topic today, and that is the immense influence on Nazism in the modern Olympics.
In the modern Olympics?
Yeah,
right.
As opposed to the ancient Olympics. Particularly the torch relay was invented by the Nazis.
Why?
And it was partly, well, to show the lineage from ancient Greece to Germany, Nazi to begin with.
Yeah.
But also it would go through lots of lands that they would go on to claim as their natural right later, including Poland.
Right.
So from the beginning, the torch relay was deeply screwed. And I think, and this is maybe getting more into the irrational part, I think that legacy is still obvious today in the obsessed with Greece and antiquity, Western antiquity style of the modern Olympics, which to me smacks of, if not white supremacy, at least like Eurocentrism, you know?
Yeah. So was the first torch relay in 1936?
Yes.
Oh, God.
It was invented by one of Hitler's advisors. So I read an article about it in The Atlantic to make sure that this was, in fact, not an irrational belief. But also there's a book about it that we'll put in the show notes.
Okay.
And it's not just the torch relay. There were a few other things as well, but that was the big one.
Okay.
Wow. So, yeah. Enjoy your Olympics next time, you goose-stepping monsters.
Should be an event.
Yeah. So that's me.
That's right on thing.
Yep, well, that's ruling the Olympics for me. Thank you.
Good. I've never much liked it ever. Anyway, except for equestrian. So I'll be sorry to miss to watch that with mixed feelings now, especially with all the concepts of breeding and stuff that are in equestrians ruined.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Randall.
Yes, I. This is more of a hope than an irrational belief.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that there's going to be an Australian remake of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay.
And a character, the titular character, is going to be played by Vince Cerenti.
Yeah, you have to remind people who Vince Cerenti is. It's a pretty niche taste, right?
It is. Yeah. Vince Cerenti is an Italian-Australian comedian.
Yeah.
Sometime TV host in the 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going around, I think, doing stand-up.
He was on Hey Hey a lot.
I think he might have been on the variety show Hey Hey It's Saturday occasionally. He was sort of around, and he used to host a show, Let's Make a Deal, which you might remember. Listeners might not have heard of it, but...
Yeah. Overseas listeners will not have heard of it. Oh, but it's probably a rip-off of an American one.
Yes, I think it was a rip-off, I believe, of an American one. I think he'd be great for the role, and I hope that it happens.
He'd be old, though. Everybody Loves Raymond was a young family, like, he was 40. Vince Cerenti is probably 65. What's going to be Everybody Loves Raymond in retirement?
It'd be great.
Every week I come along with something like, I recently stopped believing in Bigfoot, or like, we're headed for civil war, and you're like, that's not an irrational belief. But Mr. Vicerenti over here says, oh, there might be an Australian Everybody Loves Raymond. You're like, oh, that's really interesting.
I'm not saying it's interesting.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it would be interesting to see a 65-year-old Everybody Loves Raymond Australian reboot.
I think so. That's definitely a thirst for it, I think.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
And okay.
Give the person what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have the canned laughter and everything, and he can just reappear on our screens.
Yeah. Good on you, Vince.
Nice.
If you're a listener. So I'm Lachlan. I'm a psychological scientist, and my irrational belief. Yeah, we'll call it an irrational belief. I may have talked about it briefly before, the multiverse is it's a pop concept now with
mm-hmm.
Marvel,
mm-hmm.
but it has, you know, deep psychological physical roots in like string theory and other
it does mechanics. Have deep
it's one of the more favored theories now about how the universe evolves. It branches continuously into, you know, parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it does. That's my irrational, completely uninformed belief. I think everything branches. I think the idea re-merges.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of it just branching infinitely doesn't make sense to me. And I don't think...
So what do you think? What do you think happens?
Mm.
So there's this guy, Stephen Wolfram. I think I've talked about him before as well. He was a physicist under Richard Feynman in the 70s, and then he invented Wolfram Alpha and... A Mathematica, the physics program that a lot of people use. So he became
what's
a computer
Wolfram
scientist.
Alfred, this is software.
Yeah, that's a software online where you can ask it a plain language question. It'll give you a plain language answer.
Oh, right. It's an AI or machine learning.
It's
type
a
of thing.
Very early incarnation of that.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of, I think, Siri or someone,
yeah.
or some of those people, some of those AIs are
yeah.
based on Wolfram Alpha.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like
it's a language underneath it as well.
Okay.
It's a plain language.
Yeah.
Language.
Cool.
Is it like Ask Jeeves?
Yes, kind of.
Right.
Yeah. he has, because he's a physicist, he's come back to physics and he's got a physics project at the moment, and he's starting, like, creating physical theory from the ground up. Rather than saying, this is the universe out there, let's make observations and make sense of them,
mm-hmm.
he's taking a computational approach, purely mathematical approach, to saying, can we get the rules of physics from, bare bones computation?
Right.
So, yeah. He claims that he's successfully already modeling quantum mechanics and general relativity.
Right.
And in his version of quantum mechanics, the branching happens only temporarily and then re-merges.
Okay.
So you can never actually get an infinite branch.
Yeah. Doctor Strange.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like, instead of using radio telescopes and stuff, he's gone straight back to sitting in King's College of Cambridge and doing it all in algebra or whatever.
Just using computer programs to run models based on... he's trying to generate a mathematical rule for the universe. So a basic algorithm that just, if you let it run, gives you the laws of the universe.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah. So it's like bottom-up rather than, you know, empirical.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of empiricism.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all it's based on, but I like that idea because I've always distrusted or had a intuitive gut rebellion against multiverse.
It wasn't just existential dread. there were an infinite number of you and doing slightly different things,
yep.
and like Gwyneth Paltrow's like, wasn't that?
No.
Yeah.
Because if there was, there'd be a universe out there where Vincerenti is starring.
No, it has to be all things possible. I've had this conversation before.
Okay.
Only possible things.
Only possible.
not conceivable.
Okay.
That's conceivable, maybe not possible. Anyway, that's our irrational beliefs. We're abandoning the idea of irrational beliefs. We're now just giving fringe ideas, unfounded intuitions, yeah? From
yes.
now on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Things that would make someone look at you weird if you express them in public. So I think...
This is
Randall's example of the Let's Make a Deal reboot is probably the best example we've had so far. Yeah.
I just think it would be interesting to see who they cast with.
Well, anyway.
Can we just stop here?
That's the episode.
Yeah, that's the episode. Yeah.
We're
thanks
gonna,
for going
we're
along.
We're
going to
peek after that.
Right. Let's make a deal.
All right, but speaking of unfounded beliefs, today we are talking about, it's a sports theme as you mentioned, we are talking about, now this is incredibly topical because we planned to do this episode a long time ago, we're always behind schedule, we planned to do this episode weeks, if not months ago, and it just so happens that the week that we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, he is making international news. He's making headline news for views and comments that he's making online, and it's almost going to ruin his career.
Ooh.
So he's a known conspiracy theorist previously. So we're going to go through that history, but also talk about what's happening presently and get both of your reaction, because I've asked you both
cool.
to stay mm-hmm. off, like you're in a jury, stay off media and social media about
yep.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
you can have a fresh reaction to it. Here's
yep.
the name.
Yep. No, yeah. I'm looking forward to learning a bit about, like, I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about him or what's gone on. Stayed away from it.
Yeah. All right, so his background, he is a legendary basketballer, a legendary baller. He now plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
Is he a point guard?
He is a point guard, and he's incredible. 6'2" point guard, so he's not, you know, 6'6", big guy. He's this little dynamic player, little 6'2".
Yeah.
He used to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron and won championships with LeBron. Oh. Sunk a winning shot, you know, at the buzzer in 2017, I think, to win the finals, to win the championship. He's a historic player. He's not just a great player. He's a historic player.
NBA royalty.
Royalty. So he, and he's kind of unique. Well, he's not unique. There's plenty of them, but he's a street baller. So he uses deft little tricks to create space. He doesn't just, you know, use muscle or his height. Right. He has to use really little, you know, little head fakes and stuff to get people off balance. And he's just amazing.
Like Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump?
Ah, better.
I finally have an analog. So yeah. Listeners should know that I know about as much, I know as much about competitive sport as these two know about cryptozoology. So I'll be looking for any relevant cultural touchstones to help me understand today.
Anything you can hook into.
Yeah. Okay, Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump.
So Kyrie basically dances around people. He pulls off ridiculous shots. He's scintillating to watch. He also, like I said, scored one of the most memorable and famous baskets of all time to win the 2016 finals for the Cavs with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So he's historical. But he's now currently, this isn't the first time, but he's now currently suspended for 5 games. He's been ditched by Nike. Oh. And he is being called out by players, journalists, and fans after he shared a link to an outrageously anti-Semitic Holocaust-denying film on Twitter.
Oh, no.
So he's got 4.5 million followers. Mm. Then he initially refused to take it down, then took it down, and still refuses to apologize, even though he's sent out an apology. It's not a blanket apology, and we'll get into why it's not. So, in fact, he has publicly endorsed some of the claims of the film to defend himself, as we'll see, while also claiming that he is not promoting the, or endorsing the film in any way, which is just bizarre obfuscation.
It's street bowling.
It's street bowling.
It's a little head fake.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Today is basically about what prompted this fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have heard about his previous COVID and flat earth controversies. So in reality...
No, I haven't either.
Oh, well, he didn't really have far to fall in any event. But like Kanye, who is also currently espousing anti-Semitism...
Like Ye.
Ye, sorry. He has now finally, I think, if you watch some clips and listen to people around, he's really lost credibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He always had a bit of a through line. He was a respected player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's lost that. He's now maybe irredeemable at this point.
Wow.
So... Ye and Kyrie might be linked, so with some suggestions that Kyrie may have been prompted to investigate the anti-Semitic films by the controversy surrounding Ye, who, as you probably know, has gone full DEFCON 3 on the Jewish people.
Oh, yes.
So there's some sensitive topic here. We should probably have a trigger warning. We're going to get into some pretty anti-Semitic material.
Mm.
And just for me, a bit of cultural... trepidation. We're talking about things that I'm not expert in. We're talking about other cultures. As a white person, that makes me feel a bit ick, but I think it's worth looking at it just without going into the details and talking about it just the way it's being reported.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And given we're in a prime demographic to spread anti-Semitism and white supremacy, I mean, it's white supremacy, I think it's very apropos for us to discuss it.
Yeah, that's what I want from you, Matt, in particular, is how does this segue, how does this dovetail with white supremacy?
Yeah, well, it sounds like a different to the stuff I see. Because like I say, it's not my demographic.
No.
But
you haven't heard of this kind of...
I've heard of this kind of thing. Yeah, like, not having watched the documentary, I wouldn't know. But I'm wondering if it's similar to Ye saying that he's actually can't be anti-Semitic because he's Jewish, that there's this lost tribe of... Are you going to get into this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I think I might know the ballpark.
So the overlap is huge with...
The Nuremberg ballpark, I may know.
Okay, so before we get into that, though, let's backtrack to his previous controversies.
Mm.
So he endorsed... I don't actually know how, but he endorsed Flat Earth and then
pulled was out it just by sinking that amazing yeah. shot? Was that?
Yeah, that's right.
There was no way else I could have done it, guys. I mean, it's so far away. Yeah. I didn't account for the Coriolis effect or the rotation of the Earth. I just looked down a flat plane and I just sunk it. Yeah. Maybe that was the endorsement.
That would be sufficient.
Yeah.
But look, it was probably on social media. I don't want to go into it. This is just as background. But what he said as way of an apology, and you'd think you might learn from having to say this. He said, this is in October 2018. To all the science teachers, everybody coming up to me like, you know, I've got to reteach my whole curriculum. I'm sorry, Irving said as the room attending his session laughed. I apologize. I was definitely, so this might be a broken quote, I was definitely at the time, I'm a big conspiracy theorist. You can't tell me anything. I'm sorry about all that. Even if you believe in that, don't come out and say that stuff. That's for intimate conversations because perception and how you're received, it changes. I'm actually a smart-ass individual.
Right.
Yeah. I do research on both sides. I'm not against anyone that thinks the Earth is round. I'm not against anyone that thinks it's flat. I just love hearing the debate.
Right.
Wow. Interesting. Whoa.
It's a new dimension to whataboutism. It's like, let's hear from all sides.
Yeah.
We respect those that feel the Earth is round and those that believe it's flat. Yeah. It's totally equivalent views that we should give credence and voice to.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting, though, that he called himself... When did this happen, that fracas?
2018.
Yeah, interesting that he was happy to call himself
conspiracy
theorist. Because that time, that was really becoming an invective. People claim, oh, it's a slur. They call us that to silence us and things like that. Well, so it's interesting. He would self-identify.
This is interesting. So this is actually, I'm going to play a clip, and this is in relation to his COVID vaccine conspiracy or COVID vaccine hesitancy. But this is a clip of Shaquille O'Neal using the term, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. So it's like there was a cachet still around it because these are the alpha males in, you know, the biggest sport, one of the biggest sports.
Alpha males don't exist, but they're the leading figures.
Leading figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Not alpha males. Yeah. Dominant types? No. Okay. So this is Shaq.
If you're out in the world doing your thing, meeting people, touching people around you, the first people you should be thinking about is your family. That's what I did. Because
maybe his family didn't believe in it.
Okay, well, if his family don't believe it, I wish you well, I understand, but I'm a big conspiracy theorist. I see and hear all. Mm-hmm. However, I'm out in these streets. I will not get Dr. Lucille O'Neal sick because of me out here being a knucklehead. So, he needs to think about his family.
All right, so that's from the big podcast with Shaq. So just after, I think, the start of maybe the 2021-2022 season in relation to COVID, saying Kyrie's not going to get vaccinated. He's not going to then play. He's going to miss out on everything, but it's about his health. But, Shaq is saying, I'm a conspiracy theorist, openly. Thoughts?
I mean, I think that's fair enough. He's very entitled.
Mm.
To not condemn someone, I think you should always be free. You should never be forced to condemn someone.
But he's endorsing conspiracy theory.
Was he?
I'm a big conspiracy theorist.
I see all and hear all, though. Doesn't that imply that he also hears the voices of those who think COVID is a reality and being vaccinated is the best defense against it?
Yeah, but you're trying to have it both ways. You're saying, I am a conspiracy theorist, but I'll also listen to the science.
Yeah. Because that's my way of being in the world.
Right.
Is that I consider myself something of a conspiracy theorist. But
you
also
say you're conspiracy curious.
Conspiracy curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if I took it when he was saying that, I took it as him saying, I'm open minded.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think rather than I'm a conspiracy theorist, meaning what it sounds like it means. I think sometimes people might use it to intimate that they're open-minded and willing to listen to everything.
Yep.
Mm.
And the label for that maybe that they use is conspiracy theorist, but that's just how I took it watching that for the first time.
Yeah.
It sounded to me like he was trying to say, I'm open to listening to everything.
Right.
And that makes me a conspiracy theorist.
And then
theorist.
I make up my own mind.
And then I make up my own mind because I'm, intelligent and open and willing and independent. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's sort of how I took it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why you'd own it, because you might think that's a positive thing.
Yeah. I mean, as we've said, often it's a very loaded and slippery term, conspiracy theorist. And I feel like it's hard to judge from outside the US, where conspiracy theories are so bound up in politics now, that I feel like for some people to say, proudly declare themselves a conspiracy theorist, that means that they're anti-government and libertarian, and some of the things they're skeptical of are that women are as intelligent as men and the races are equal. Yeah. I'm not that kind of conspiracy theorist,
okay.
But I would still say I'm somewhat of a conspiracy theorist because of my interests and the maybe unusual level of open-mindedness to some.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of flavor then. It's like, I'm a deep state conspiracy theorist. I'm a neo-Nazi conspiracy theorist.
The spectrum
of conspiracy theory belief.
Yeah.
Which I think we've talked about a lot, is that it's on a continuum.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Everyone's got at least some.
Yeah.
That's the point of the podcast. And all the stuff
that's in there, like, you'd have to be pretty far gone to buy it all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless you're one of these people that it's a political self-identifying label. And I feel then it comes with a pre-package of ideology.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what Shaq is saying, but I don't know.
But it's interesting because I wonder if it's now going to change. I wonder if they're going to see conspiracy theory as something damaging, harmful, and something they're going to want to disassociate from.
They, like, media figures, athletes, the NBA, the
people at that point on the spectrum where it's like, I'm open to everything, so that makes me a conspiracy theorist, or I can entertain it. It's like, no, that's a conspiracy theory.
That's right.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I think that might be happening.
Yeah. Well, but as they get nastier and nastier, like, you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
As I try to be on the podcast saying what you're open to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not open to, like, Holocaust denialism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think from that perspective, it is important to be careful. I also think it's important that labels like conspiracy theorist or even alt-right or far-right don't become a vague condemnation that you just slap on people that you disagree with.
Yeah.
Or say slap on a conservative.
It's like slamming the lips.
Yeah. In exactly the same way that anyone who's a progressive is an Antifa deep state terrorist operative or whatever. I just think we've seen in our lifetime how dangerous it can be to invent
just a category.
A category.
Yeah.
Thank you for stopping me from using the word witch hunt. invent a category of non-person like terrorist see what that can be used to justify that.
Yeah.
To see conspiracy theorist or even far right. And not that the far right is not a danger. It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to see that as turn into a convenient political label for all your enemies.
Yeah, a hatchet.
Yeah. No, good point, isn't it? I suppose there's so many, like, what does it mean to be a conspiracy theorist anyway?
Yeah.
Because there's so many theories.
Yeah.
And I'd be really interested to further understand what it is about certain theories and not others that people will adhere to.
Because
if you're a conspiracy theorist, the implication is I'm up for all of them, I suppose.
Yeah. Or there's going to be a kernel of truth in all of them.
Yes, that's
although
right.
Although that's not what I'm implying when I say I could be.
No, I don't think so. But I think maybe
some people do.
Yeah, where's that line or that limit? Why do you stop at Holocaust denialism or not? Or why do you stop at this or that? I would be interested to know more about.
Yeah.
And interesting for today, because Kyrie has obviously crossed the line.
Definitely. Multiple times.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So to give a bit of background, so he played in, like we said, in the bubble in 2020-2021. So he was safe then. Well, he's... COVID hesitancy, his vaccine hesitancy was okay. But then in only away games in 2021-2022, which cost his team a lot, cost him $40 million in salary and a possible $155 million extension of his contract. But not in the way of sponsorship that I'm aware of at that point. So sponsors were still sticking by him. But this could have cost him $200 million. If he doesn't get an extension now with the Nets for his probably last, I think he's 31 years old now. He's probably only got one, I think that's called a Supermax contract or pretty close to it. Yeah, but speaking about not being offered.
So these are real consequences. Real consequences. It's not just. I mean, I have trouble imagining how wealthy the very wealthy are.
Yeah.
But this matters.
Yeah, to lose a year's salary. I mean, he's still. He won't die poor. He's already made, you know, $300-400 million.
Yeah.
But it's a fair amount to lose in 1 year.
Yeah.
So when he was speaking about not being offered a contract extension, he said, in quotes, "I understand all the Nets' points, and I respected it, and I honoured it, and I didn't appreciate how me being vaccinated all of a sudden came to be a stigma within my career, that I don't want to play, or I'm willing to give up everything to be a voice for the voiceless." "And which I will stand on here and say that that wasn't the only intent that I had, was to be the voice of the voiceless. It was to stand on something that was going to be bigger than myself." So I think at that point, so with Flat Earth, it was like he put something out there and retracted it. It was pretty humble.
Yeah.
Now he's out there with vaccine hesitancy, being not so humble. He's now saying, no, he's doubling down. He's doing the MAGA right thing of doubling down. So to me, it seems like, you know, that guy's going to have a pretty raving ego anyway, but it feels like he's becoming a raving egomaniac at that point. A savior complex, real narcissism starting to flow through.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Did he ever articulate why he... I mean, you said vaccinated, but you meant unvaccinated.
He's unvaccinated, yeah.
Did he ever say why he wasn't willing to get the vaccine?
No, I don't think he went public about it.
Yeah.
He just said it's a personal thing. It should be a personal choice.
I mean, when you start saying I'm the voice for the voiceless, though, it's not like... There's slight increases of myocarditis in my age group. It's probably bigger than that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just curious what it is. And I'm also curious why figures like him or Djokovic never come out and present their case.
And no, they can. I think they have the sophistication to. I think they want to. But these people
are not unintelligent, though. I mean, they're not unintelligent, but they always communicate well.
Yeah, and he is starting to communicate his thoughts, as we'll see.
Right.
He's starting to push himself further out there, and he's feeling the blowback.
Yeah.
Because he could be on the cusp of losing his career.
Right.
Based on speaking out. I think they do it out of hesitancy.
Like
if I do that, my sponsors might ditch me. If I tell them why, it's better just to say nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a private health issue, I guess they say that.
Which is, I think, is very valid, because your health information should absolutely be your concern.
There should be no forcing them to justify themselves.
That's right. I'm just also curious why prominent figures who have chosen not to get vaccinated never present a case as to why, and wonder, is it because they can't? Is it because they think it will be very easily debunked, like it causes autism in children?
Yeah.
Is it because it goes into extremely nasty territory?
Yeah, I think they're hiding something,
Like the WHO has a genocide agenda or something like that.
Yeah. That's definitely part of it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if they said any of that stuff, they would lose their sponsorship.
Yes, right. So it's a self-censorship.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the Lib Thought Police. At it again. But yeah, it's just, you think it's, about the very real consequences.
Definitely.
Yeah. So in a way, I guess it's...
He's right.
Yeah, it's still some tact or good sense.
Definitely.
To not say why he's a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah. It's the tact and discretion that is not showing now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think Kyrie is learning or has modelled maybe on Yay to suppress that discretion.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But also very interesting, like when you start, like you talked about the savior complex, when you start, and I think you guys will have more to say on this than I do, but when you start identifying yourself with this expanded role and bigger concern and what that does to a person's psyche.
But watch what Kyrie does with that.
Right.
This is interesting how he maximizes and minimizes his role in the same breath.
Right.
It's streetballing. He's head faking.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the main event, the current drama that could cost him his career.
Yeah.
So he posted a link on his Twitter, as I said, with 4 million followers. He's got 17 million followers on Insta, to a film called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America, which is a conspiracy and disinformation-laden film about how African-Americans are the real Jews.
Mm.
The, in quotes, white Jews are imposters who have usurped Jewish identity in some way. And so this conspiracy is widely regarded as anti-Semitic.
Mm.
And so posting a link to it without any comment was always going to be controversial, especially with all the anti-Semitism swirling around at the same time.
Yeah.
A disclaimer again, I haven't
watched the pushback against the anti-Semitism swirling around. Yeah.
Yeah. And a disclaimer again, I haven't watched the film. I don't know if I've bastardized what it says, but there are definitely people out there saying it's all disinformation, or much of it. It's Holocaust denying.
Mm.
There's some real problems in there that he did not flag. He just posted a link to it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand. In my own research about, like, even the Australian freedom rallies.
Your own research, Matthew.
Yeah, I always do my own research, as you know. I was giving links to things. It's funny because usually we try and check what people are talking about, even if it's a bit weird.
Mm.
But I feel like if it's going to tell you the Holocaust didn't happen,
yep,
you don't need to have watched it
to
know you don't agree with the claims and they're unfounded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
haven't watched it.
We won't link that one.
No. But what I did see, I watched a bit of a clip of it on YouTube. So it's still up on Amazon. This is publicly available. It's not
interesting.
It's not on the dark web.
Yeah.
It's one of those cryptic linguistic formulae that claim to prove that the etymological roots of words in the Bible, Jewish words, Hebrew words, descend from African language. That this somehow proves that the Bible, the Torah, prophesies that the Jews returning to Egypt in boats was some kind of code for African enslavement in Europe, and Egypt was in fact America.
Okay.
Oh.
So it's far-fetched, to say the least, and here's the codex. I'm going to show it to you, Matt and Randall.
What is it with America thinking it's the Middle East? I feel like this keeps coming back.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Crusades are on a new continent.
Yeah.
So it's basically things like, so if you look at the letters Mem, Tzade, Resh, Yod, and Nem, the word is replaced with English word Egypt in our Bibles in Deuteronomy. To find out the meaning of this word, we have to break it down to its root.
Mm.
Hebrew Strong's of Metzah, Mem, Tzare, and Resh, and Hebrew Strong's of Tzara, Tzare, Resh, Hey. I don't know. It's like an emphasis.
Okay.
I'd say there might be consonants, let's say. Means distress, trouble, pain, terror, dire straits. In Psalms, it is used in conjunction with Sheol or Hell, where it says the terror strains, straits, pain of hell, Sheol. So it's a code to basically say the meaning. I've actually cut it off. There's a transliteration from the Bantu tongue. So it's African words appearing in the Bible so we can reinterpret it.
I mean, it's funny because I feel like saying that a language in the ancient Middle East is related to a language from the place in the world all humans come from.
Yeah.
It's not a controversial thing to say. Whoa. It's the implications about this revisionist portrayal of slavery and where a different ethnicity are now Jews and the true Jews.
Yeah.
It's where the real... Otherwise, it would be a dusty etymological argument that you could have at Cambridge, right? About the origin of words.
But that's the conspiracy theory. They're not having that because they're white guys at Cambridge.
Ah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the premise, that this is a new black philosophy taking root in America.
Right.
Yeah, that we're revealing the true history of America, that it has a biblical history.
Right.
Yeah.
A different biblical history.
Very different.
Different history. From the Book of Mormon or Manifest Destiny or,
So the upshot is that black Americans are Jewish, Israeli Jews are not. So it feeds into a broad conspiracy of, I would say, there's right black disenfranchisement, that the enslavement was a biblical thing that needs to be corrected. Not just a racial historical fact. It's something that's tied to prophecy.
It's not just a historical wrong.
Yeah.
It's going against the preordered journey of the cosmos
that
God planned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when he was quizzed about it, I'm going to show some of these interviews or stuff in not in order because I want it to make sense more for the narrative. But when the blowback came, when Kyrie was asked in a press conference, this is what he had to say. I watched it and then read books. I had a lot of time last year to read when he wasn't playing. A lot, good and bad, about the truth of our world. When asked if he understood how many viewed it as anti-Semitic, he replied, "It's on Amazon, a public platform. Whether you want to watch it or not is up to you." Then he also said, "There's things being posted every day. I'm no different from the next human being, so please don't treat me any different. You guys come in here and make up this powerful influence that I have over the top of the adultery of, you know, you cannot post that. Why not? Why not?" So he's pleading some kind of, you know, innocence there. It's like, I just posted something, let's get over it. But he completely contradicted that claim of no powerful influence earlier. I'll play you the clip now from the interview.
Title given to Christ, Philippians 2:11, and my name translates in the Hebrew language as Yahweh. So I went on to Amazon Prime. I was like, you know what, let me see if there are any documentaries on Yahweh. So went in the search bar, typed in Yahweh, that came up. Went out and shared it on my platform. That was my night. In terms of the backlash or what people call it, we're in 2022. History is not supposed to be hidden from anybody. And I'm not a divisive person when it comes to religion. I embrace all walks of life. You see it on all my platforms. I talk to all races, all cultures, all religions. And my response would be, it's not about educating yourself on what Semitism is and what anti-Semitism is. It's really about learning the root words of where these come from and understanding that this is an African heritage that is also belonging to the people. Africa is in it, whether we want to dismiss it or not. So the claims of anti-Semitism and who are the original chosen people of God, and we go into these religious conversations and it's a big no-no. I don't live my way like that. I don't live my life that way. Excuse me, I grew up in a melting pot, and I say a melting pot of all races, white, black, red, yellow, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and you can see the way I live my life now. I'm not here to be divisive, so they could push their agenda. I don't want to say they, because I'm not identifying any one group or race of people, but I'm in a unique position to have a level of influence on my community. And what I post does not mean that I support everything that's being said or everything that's being done or I'm campaigning for anything. All I do is post things for my people and my community and those that it's actually going to impact. Anybody else that has criticism obviously wasn't meant for them.
Hopefully I'm understanding what you said, and I want to make sure I get it right because I don't want to misquote any part
of it. I don't expect understanding from a media conglomerate group that sincerely talks about the game of basketball, and then we bring up religion as if it's correlative at times when it's convenient for people to bring it up. So please just be direct with your question so we can move on from this and I can talk about the game and go home to my son Elohim and my wife Marlene. Okay,
so what do you think of his defense there, or his explanation? What were their flags that popped up in his press conference there?
I think at this point, it's really hard to comment not having watched the documentary.
Yeah.
But I think I'm still holding out for hope for Mr. Irving at this point in his journey.
Yeah.
When he said, "I don't mean to say they."
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a really, for me, having watched a lot of right-wing pundits.
There's an obvious they.
There is often a very obvious they that they're happy to bandy about, knowing that that can be an extremely loaded and dangerous word.
Yeah.
So for him to specifically correct himself when I think he genuinely misspoke, it's interesting because it shows that he doesn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It also implies that he knows who they are,
yeah,
and he's not willing to call them out at this point. I also think, it's part of a bigger conversation about who we hold up as role models and leaders and what standards we expect from them. I mean, this is a basketballer, a celebrity.
Yeah.
And I think, it's a very powerful point to say this was on Amazon.
Yeah.
He didn't get this from fringe media, or he didn't have to go to to 4chan or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a product
Yes.
sold on a mainstream platform. Mm-hmm. So, And I'm not so much pointing that out as a defense against anti-Semitism. I mean, you can buy Mein Kampf on Amazon. That doesn't mean I agree with what's in it.
Yeah.
But I wonder where the blame is for vendors.
Right.
Like, isn't Amazon more responsible than Kyrie Irving for what they have on their platform? And if they're selling literal hate,
yeah,
they ought to be accountable more than him, for me.
Definitely. I think that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm just a platform and I put it out there. I didn't comment about it. I didn't endorse anything.
Yeah.
But he's clearly endorsing it in that clip. He's saying, you've got to look at the root words, words, and it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, he
did. And also, to say, like, just to your point, to say, oh, I'm just putting it out there to my how many million followers?
Yeah.
Right. Is a little bit of abnegation of responsibility. But yeah. I guess, yeah, I just think, why are we not angry at Amazon in the conversation?
Yeah.
Two.
Maybe. Yes.
Sorry, Randall. No, I was thinking it was interesting how he actually got there, though. What he was searching, he said, for Yahweh? Is that his name translates to? Is that right?
Well, it's like Kyrie. Kyrie eleison. You know,
right.
The word. That's what he's... That's how his name is spelt, but it's Kyrie. Spelt Kyrie.
Yeah. So he was looking for documentaries about...
Himself.
Himself.
So there's a narcissism built in there.
And that's how
no, it wasn't. So. He was looking, he'd read something in the Bible and he wanted to look up the background to that, right? He'd just been talking about the Philippians.
But and his quite... name translates to God.
Oh, yeah. Right.
My name means comes God, back. So
yes. Yeah, okay.
That's, so there's, yeah, a, yeah, right. There's a narcissism there.
Yeah. Also interesting. Is that what you wanted?
That was my...
He sounds like he's a bit off himself. Noted. Also, though, I was interested that he said that was the first thing that came up, which is very interesting for the kind of information different people get when they go online. Because people, like I've seen comments from, I don't know who it was some Puritan in the US saying, when you go on to MSN, the MSN homepage, you're immediately confronted with images of gay prostitutes. And someone was like, well, that's based on your search history. That doesn't happen. And it's exactly the same for me. I mean, not only do I see the gay prostitutes, but the flavor of stuff I get, I'm wondering, does everyone get this? Because this stuff is weird.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously not, like I said, in the demographic where I'm going to be getting the secret history of African Americans.
I just get nothing but gambling ads. Nothing.
It's all the sport you watch.
I know, but I don't gamble, so they're like, gotta get him. Yeah. Gotta get him on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is that all about that clip? Because we've got a kicker. We've got a kick-ass kicker. Right.
Are we going into overtime?
It's free basketball.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did I do anything illegal? Did I hurt anybody? Did I harm anybody? Am I going out and saying that I hate one specific group of people? So out of all the judgment that people got from me posting, I just, without talking to me, and then I respect what Joe said, but there has a lot to do with the not ego or pride of how proud I am to be an African heritage, but also to be living as a free black man here in America, knowing the historical complexities for me to get here. So I'm not going to stand down on anything that I believe in. I'm only going to get stronger because I'm not alone. I have a whole army around me.
Kyrie, while we're on the topic of promotion, why did you decide to promote something that Alex Jones said?
That was a few weeks ago. I do not stand with Alex Jones' position, narrative, court case that he had with Sandy Hook, or any of the kids that felt like they had to relive trauma, or parents that had to relive trauma, or to be dismissive to all the lives that were lost during that tragic event. My post was a post from Alex Jones that he did in the early 90s or late 90s about secret societies in America of occults. And it's true. So I wasn't identifying with anything of being a campaignist for Alex Jones or anything. I was just there to post. And it's funny, and it's actually hilarious, because out of all the things I posted that day, that was the one post that everyone chose to see. It just goes back to the way our world is and works. I'm not here to complain about it. I just exist.
And to follow up on the promotion of the movie and the book.
Can you please stop calling it a promotion? What am I promoting?
Put it out on your platform.
But I'm promoting it?
Do you see me doing? Do you see
by
me in front
putting
of the,
it out there,
the title?
People are going to say that you are.
Yeah, I put
promoting.
It out there just like you put things out there, right?
Yeah, but I.
Okay.
It's not
you put
stuff,
things out there for a living, right?
Right, but my
great,
stuff is
great,
not
so let's move on.
Filled
let's
with
move on.
Anti-Semitic.
Let's
stuff.
Move on. Don't dehumanize me up here.
I'm not doing
I'm
that.
Another
you're
human
free to
being.
Post
I can
what,
post whatever I want, so say what, that and shut it down and move on to the next question.
But Kyrie, you have to understand that by
I don't have post, to understand anything from you.
But it's
nothing.
Not me.
Nothing.
By
it's
posting
no people
what
that you're
you
making
did,
up, bro. Move on.
But by posting
move
what
on,
you
next
did,
question.
Anybody
do you guys have any more questions
and
for
they're going to say
you guys have any more questions
because
this is
going to
be a
beliefs.
Clip this is going to be a clip that he's going to marvel at is this any more questions
but you're not answering the question
it's another answering your question oh my god let's make another Instagram clip so we could be famous again next question
so yeah that deteriorated pretty quickly so mm-hmm. It was congenial to the point where he was asked about promotion mm-hmm. So did mm-hmm. you promote the film mm-hmm. So he's trying to really weasel out of putting something without comment, just posting it to his Twitter feed, saying that he is like Amazon. I just put it out there and it's up to you. I'm a source of information, that's all. I'm not a person on Twitter showing that, hey, this might be interesting for you. Mm-hmm. What do we think?
I find that disingenuous. Wait, does that one mean honest or dishonest? I mean dishonest.
Dishonest.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he can't be, he's obviously an intelligent person, which is shocking to me because of the way our Australian athletes speak. It's like, what kind of training is there? Drug testing for like smart pills over there? So it seems ridiculous to me that he's not aware of the influence he has.
Mm-hmm. But he's aware of it. He said it before, I have an army around
him. Yeah, but then he's wanting to distance himself from it. Like the special pleading about when the influence is effective and not.
He's Alex Jones. He's having it both ways.
And even with us, like tonight naming that documentary or in the past when we've broken down something we're debunking, I think anyone who deals with these kind of issues in any kind of media, even such a minuscule scale as ours, compared with the people who listen to him, have to be aware that you have to be careful.
Mm.
So it just seems like he's being defensive because he really knows he was promoting it.
Yeah.
Just by putting it out there.
Well, he said in that interview that he believes it.
Yeah.
Like he believes that you have to trace the words.
Yeah.
You have to go back and there's black heritage.
Yeah.
The Bible.
That's... I mean, maybe he was trying to distance himself from some of the other things in the documentary.
Yeah, but you can't put something on your Twitter feed and say, here wholesale, here it is, go on. Well, I know he's trying to say, well, people need to make up their own mind.
Yeah.
But they need to make up their own mind also about what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you're representing yourself. You're not representing the film at that point, or you're not... It's not an anonymous account.
That's right.
That's Kyrie's account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People look up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in MK Ultra and Operation Paperclip. Mm. Those were elements of Out of Shadows.
Yes, exactly.
But I wouldn't go on Twitter tonight and be like, just watch this.
Yeah.
Put it out there. Because that is a form of promotion.
Exactly.
Right? And it implies, without any caveats, I believe all of this, not parts.
Yeah. So the Alex Jones part, I'm not going to give you the exact quote, but it was from like 2002, so it was around there are global elites, you know, trying to overthrow the American government.
Right.
And it's true.
It's true. So it's true.
Yeah. I think he's
because
what he
that's true.
You meant you're quoting him saying it's true.
I think Kyrie was saying it's true.
You weren't just suddenly going to become a voice for the voiceless.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I've become a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah.
And it's all true.
Yeah.
It's probably frustrating for him too if he's there post game wanting to talk about basketball.
Yeah.
And they were continually asking him about the posting and, you know, what does the verb to promote mean, really? So it wasn't all that unusual for him to get a bit feisty. You see that reasonably often when sports people are dragged out of their main reason for being. And so, he obviously was, he is very articulate though, isn't he?
He is.
In a way.
Yeah. And I think
we've
been
raised on a media diet of AFL football players and a constant stream of cliches and monosyllables. So,
a full contact sport where they're starting to figure out the effects on the brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that's why he's again, being able to dance around, you know, play street ball with a lot of this in the past is because he's verbally very agile.
Yeah.
He can dance around, but if you just, like with Alex Jones, if you play it back to back, he's obviously contradicting himself within a couple of minutes. So I've got an army, but I'm just a person, don't judge me.
Like, right.
If you're the leader of an army, then...
You're not just a person.
You're not just a person.
Yeah. Is it what... So you said this media... What do you call this? Press conference?
Press conference.
Was a big step in his decline. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. Because it's just after he posted the link.
Right.
And he wasn't, I don't think, prepared to defend it or to talk about it. He was maybe caught a bit off guard.
Mm-hmm. And... Do you think people, there was backlash against his refusal or about the way he dealt with the reporter? That it was a bad explanation or that he was emotional?
Bit of both, and he didn't take it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't take it down straight away. So there were people who rocked up to front row seats wearing Fight Anti-Semitism on their t-shirts.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, it would be an awful world in which being slightly... brusque with a reporter is worse than posting a link to a documentary. Right. No, it's not. That's not what you're saying. That. Yeah. Okay.
Right. But to see the full extent of his descent, we've got to play the final interview that he did on the matter, the follow-up interview. Right.
So this is...
He was then called on to make an apology.
Mm-hmm.
He took it down, but didn't really apologize. He published an apology.
How recent are we up to? Lots of the timeline here.
So this is only in the last week.
Right.
Right. Oh, you said he was making headlines right as we went to record.
Yeah. And we're up to the headlines.
Yeah. So this is his apology that he put on Instagram. While doing research on Yahweh, I posted a documentary that contained some false anti-Semitic statements, narratives and language that were untrue and offensive to the Jewish race religion. And I take full accountability and responsibility for my actions. I'm grateful to have a big platform, to share knowledge, and I want to move forward by having an open dialogue to learn more and grow from this. Again, this is going back to his flat earth stuff. I just want the debate.
Mm.
Yeah. To all Jewish families and communities that are hurt and affected by my post, I'm deeply sorry to have caused you pain, and I apologize. I initially reacted out of emotion to being unjustly labeled anti-Semitic instead of focusing on the healing process of my Jewish brothers and sisters that were hurt from the hateful remarks made in the documentary. I want to clarify any confusion on where I stand fighting against anti-Semitism by apologizing for posting the documentary without context and a factual explanation outlining the specific beliefs in the documentary I agreed with and disagreed with. I had no intentions to disrespect any Jewish cultural history regarding the Holocaust or perpetuate any hate. I'm learning from this unfortunate event and hope we can find understanding between us all. I'm no different than any other human being. I am a seeker of truth and knowledge, and I know who I am. Kyrie. So this is at the point that he and the Brooklyn Nets donated $1 million to the Anti-Defamation League. Mm-hmm. They're going to host a series of talks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Anti-Defamation League accepted the donation, so that was a bit hollow. Because of this. This is his final interview on the matter.
I have something to say.
Oh, before we do.
And I won't be silenced. I think it's that there was a lot happening in that apology. I mean, some of it seemed very sincere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although perhaps lacking in its focus on disrespect and hurt feelings when anti-Semitism can cause death.
Mm-hmm.
And violence and physical harm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not just in recent history, but contemporary to his statement. But also in that saying things like my Jewish brothers and sisters and I know who I am could be a dog whistle to the whole original viewpoint that got him in bad odor.
Here we go.
Right.
Here we go.
Kyrie, the documentary listed among falsehoods. It said the Holocaust didn't happen. Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Those falsehoods are unfortunate. And it's not that I don't believe in the Holocaust. I never said that. Never, ever have said it. It's not come out of my mouth. I never tweeted it. Never liked anything like it. So the Holocaust in itself is an event that means something to a large group of people that suffered something that could have been avoided. No one said we had to practice racism. No one said we had to treat each other like garbage. No one said that I had to stand here today and understand that many people that come from generations 60 years ago, 40 years ago, enslaved some of my ancestors, still spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and it's still going on. You guys are asking me, respectfully, to speak on something that was a documentary that I had nothing to do with. I didn't make it. So just please keep that same energy when you guys are addressing me.
Kyrie, for the record, do you have any anti-Semitic beliefs?
Again, I'm going to repeat. I don't know how the label becomes justified because you guys ask me the same questions over and over again. But this is not going to turn into a spin-around cycle of questions upon questions. I told you guys how I felt. I respect all walks of life and embrace all walks of life. That's where I sit.
I think what people want to hear, though, is just a yes or no on that question. Yes or no.
I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from.
Okay, so he cannot be anti-Semitic because he knows where he comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blanket endorsement of the content of the film.
Well, he did specifically say he didn't endorse the... he didn't endorse the Holocaust denialism.
Yeah.
Again, I question his sort of milquetoast dismissal or milquetoast categorization of what the Holocaust meant.
Mm.
But I'm also wary of forcing people to condemn something in stronger words than they already have. I don't like that kind of thinking. But yeah, he seemed to finally rest on this very controversial point that he is in fact Jewish, which is the same defense that Yeh has used against his obvious anti-Semitic statements. I mean, what can you say?
There's not much you can say at that point. It's like he's doubled down. He's not backing out of it. He believes the central, the core thesis of the film he has bought.
Mm-hmm.
How can that person be a role model?
Mm.
How can they stay? I think it's the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets is Jewish, so they're paying him $40 million a season.
Mm.
How can someone who is Jewish employ someone who says, I'm Jewish?
I mean, regardless of the owner or whoever's ethnicity, it's sort of a community standard that he's violated.
But it's direct.
Yeah, right. It's so personal. Direct. Yeah, yeah.
How do they have a conversation then?
I don't know. It's such a weird one, and it kind of reminds me of sometimes from the alt-right you hear things like, oh, I can't be racist. There's this defense to that, and you don't show that you're not racist through your speech and actions, but by claiming that you don't recognize ethnicity.
Yeah,
but it's in fact the left or the Black Lives Matter movement that are quote unquote too focused on race.
They're making it all about race.
They're divisive.
Yeah, and whereas you're, you know, trying to limit voting rights for African Americans in Georgia, but you don't see race.
Right.
It's a weird one. It's a very strange one.
It is, but this is reversed for us. Like, this is why it's so icky for us, the white people commenting on the reverse racism of a black person.
Well, it's not. There's just racism.
But it's not. It's inverted racism. You're saying I'm colorblind, but you're holding a racist view.
Yeah, so
it's not like, a racist going.
Like
I'm
meta
racism
or something kind of, because it's like I'm not gonna, like I said,
you
show
skip
it
the
through
obvious
my
level.
Yeah, even though my actions are racist. I tell you that I have this mindset beyond that.
Yeah.
Or in this case, I have this identity that means it can't be true, no matter what I say.
Because I know the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, well,
it's a weird one.
We'll see where his career goes. I think he's been, as I said, ditched by Nike once you lose your sponsors.
Is he still with his team?
He's still contracted.
Yeah. Did you say there was a suspension?
He's been suspended for 5 games.
That seems severe. Well, I don't want to say severe. It seems like a weighty punishment. It's not not of no significance.
It's not no significance.
Like you can punch someone out in Australian football and be suspended for 5 games.
Yeah, right? But 5 games is a week and a half in the NBA.
Right.
Like 2 or 3 games a week.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. But they have been struggling, so it's a big cost on the team.
Yes.
Mind you, they have won twice since he's been out, and they'd only won once before that. So, yeah, I think it's... The risk is that it's imploding the team.
Right.
Yeah.
So the team morale was already low, and he's kicked it down further. The coach then got sacked, and now he's suspended, and he's unlikely, I think, to get a contract extension because of this, because he's now a liability.
Mm.
So I don't know what sort of club would pick him up now. I'm not sure. I think there's a good argument to say... Thanks, Kyrie, but this is the third thing that you've done, basically 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
COVID lasted 2 years. If we're going to have a controversy like this, then that's bad for our brand. No, we're not going to give you millions and millions of dollars. You can have an early retirement. Maybe. Maybe, unless he has a change of heart. But otherwise, he's going to double down on it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, that's all we have about Kyrie.
It's been a weird long episode. Long episode and a weird one.
I
have no final thoughts. Oh, one final thing I think it's probably necessary to say. Not, like I said, I know nothing about sport, but I have heard some interesting discussion about conspiracy theories in hip-hop music, which there are a few banging around. And one thing that the conversation always comes back to is that hip-hop music is a black art form.
Mm.
And when an African-American says, the government is trying to kill me, it's very different
to
when a white person says, the government is trying to kill me.
Yeah.
So the someone's cultural experience and their history really obviously plays to these beliefs when they've been legitimately harmed versus a pearl-clutching white evangelical saying that someone's trying to take away their religion when they're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In court, be the truth defense.
Yeah.
Well, they actually are.
Yeah. But he didn't talk about that as much as I am something the rest of the world has agreed he's not. So that's something we haven't seen before, Dr. Finkman. and I just don't know. I don't know. I'm confused. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to take in.
Mm.
All at once. Sorry, I'm still thinking through some of that stuff that came up.
Well, now that we've done the episode, we could actually break this into two, I think, at some point. There's a lot in it. There's three, basically, episodes of his controversy coming through.
And I don't know how much enjoyment could you get just having a debate over flat Earth? Like, I don't see the sport in that.
Well, we don't. What were you saying last week about what makes a conspiracy theory a conspiracy theory? Last episode.
Yeah.
And why Big Cats is not one.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot more emotional investment in ethnic identity than there is in the shape of the globe, which is fundamental. But it's not
it's
just emotionally exercising in charged. The same way. Yeah.
It's academic.
Yeah. So, next episode.
Next episode. Oh, yes. Plans.
The plans for the next episode are tentative but bold. the plans for the next episode are to discuss various conspiracy theory beliefs and misconceptions about our homeland of Australia.
Yes.
And how we can attest to their untruth. And at the moment, we're saying, before I quote-unquote do my own research, we're assuming they're untrue, from three Australians.
Okay.
So
it's a debunking episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to throw another lizard person on the barbie. it'll be a debunker, hopefully, unless I get pilled. It's always the risk when we take a break. Yeah.
There is a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, very entertaining. Thank you, Locke.
Yep, great topic today. Thank you.
Okay, see you next episode.
Okay, bye.